And it's like reading a book, a chapter book, where you go to the last chapter and read it first. And you know how the story's going to end. And what a great consolation to Christians that we know how this world and all its affairs are going to end. And the Lord is going to conquer, and he's going to cast out the devil, and he's going to gather his church home, and there's going to be no more tears, no more sadness, no more sin, no more sorrow, and it's going to be a glorious eternal life for God's people. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and again we let the Bible speak from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church, and we are looking into a brand new series on the book of Revelation. Today we begin the beginning with that blessing promised in verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The book of Revelation is unique. It is the book that is imperative if we would know the end from the beginning, if we would know how this world will wrap up and what is before us as a church and as individual Christians. So join with us here as we bring the message of the gospel from the book of Revelation, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to his servant John. And I pray that you will be blessed indeed as you tune in and join with us. Now, at the end of the program, we'll be giving you details about our church ministry, about the church here, and the opportunities that you have to join with us, our website, and so on. Well, let me give you that now. CloverdaleFPC.ca, and that'll give you all the information. But stay tuned now with us as we go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Well, we're taking a new approach on this book of Revelation, and I have been praying and asking people to pray this week during our evenings of prayer for guidance as to what to preach. We have looked at a considerable number of proverbs, by no means exhausted them all. What a task that would be, to cover every single proverb in the book of Proverbs. That would take years of preaching. But somehow, I feel that this is the direction that we should go for the next while in our Sunday evening services. I want to firstly say that I sincerely thank you for your support to come. I look upon this service as where people are looking for meat, where they want to hear the Bible expounded and explained, and I trust that you will never be disappointed. Don't be trusting in the man, of course, but trusting in the book and in the word that we are studying together. And I covet your prayers that the Lord will give me the insights and the grace and the passion to preach the word. You've got to love it to preach it. If you don't love it, you're not going to preach it. And it needs to get a hold upon you. There is a difference between mastering the passage and the passage mastering you. And when the passage gets a grip of your heart, and the Lord is speaking to your heart and bringing you into real blessing in your own soul, then you can start thinking about preaching it. And I trust that that will be experience as we do this. Now, I have a number of reasons to study and preach the book of Revelation. First of all, it's the book that we can't do without. It's the book that you cannot take out of the Bible and have the whole picture, because this is the book where we get the sneak peek of how it all ends. And it's like reading a book, a chapter book where you go to the last chapter and read it first, and you know how the story's going to end. And what a great consolation to Christians that we know how this world and all its affairs are going to end. And the Lord is going to conquer, and he's going to cast out the devil, and he's going to gather his church home, and there's going to be no more tears, no more sadness, no more sin, no more sorrow, and it's going to be a glorious eternal life for God's people. It's also the book that is the last chapter of world history. Everything else stops short. Yes, some of the prophetical passages that you have, Matthew 24, 25, where the Lord Jesus talked about in the day when the Son of Man returns, you have certain details, but nothing like the book of Revelation. This book is expansive and very detailed. And of course, it's the Word of God. It's divinely inspired and given to us. I want you to notice that it says in verse 1 that this revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that must certainly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel. By his angel. What a wonderful, wonderful revelation. The word revelation there is apocalypsis, and it has the idea of drawing back the curtain. And you can imagine sitting in a theater, and you can hear the noise and the rumblings in the background, and the lights come on, but it's not until the curtain is drawn back that you get a sight of the scene. And here in the book of Revelation, God has opened up to us these wonderful events. And the other thing to note is that they are real events. This is not Disney World. This is not some fairy tale. These are real events. Now, I know that there are symbols and there is language that is symbolic and sometimes difficult just to get a grasp of the principle, but there are in them hardcore realities and facts that we can delight in. And of course, this is the world where we will spend eternity. The other reason to study this book, and that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if we want to know the Lord, we've got to study this book. And of course, the unique thing about the Lord in this book, it is Christ in his glorified state. This is after resurrection. Now, the four Gospels give us so much about the Lord in his physical state before he died and rose again. And there are some, of course, insights to the Lord appearing, speaking, but the descriptions of the glorified Christ are very limited in the Gospels. But even here in this chapter 1 that we just read, what a view of the amazing majesty of the glorified Lord Jesus. And we need to get that view. And so it is a Christ-centered emphasis. And I think if we study the book of Revelation with that emphasis, it will minimize some of the controversies, some of the polar opinions about this book, because we want to see the Lord. We're not just interested in, you know, phenomenons that are make the hair stand on our head. We want to see the Lord and to know more of him. And that ought to be a great guide to us. My final reason, and I've kept this one to the end, and it's because it's right here in verse 3, that there is a special blessing to those who read this book, those who hear these words, and those who keep those things which are written therein. The Lord pronounces a very special blessing as we give ourselves to the study of this book, and it carries this promise. And that's going to be our focus this evening, looking for the blessing. Looking for the blessing of studying, meditating, and obeying this word. And I got 4 points. The blessing of godly hope. The blessing of godly testimony. And we'll look at a number of places in this first chapter where the word testimony is referred to John and to the Lord Jesus. There's the blessing of godly worship. If we want to learn how to worship the Lord, this is the book. And there's the blessing of godly fellowship. Think of Christ in the midst of the church, in the midst of the candlestick, ministering to his church. There's fellowship. So if we can cover those things tonight, I think we will see the blessing that is in store for God's people. And it's true that if you are ever overwhelmed by the world affairs around you, when you are wondering what is happening in this topsy-turvy world, or even in your own circumstances in life, that this book of Revelation is a tonic. It will heal you from the fears and from the troubles of this old world. And the first thing that you discover and that will strike you in this book, that the Lord Jesus is personally, absolutely in control of everything. Let me show you this in Revelation 13, verses 5 and 7. Revelation 13, 5 and 7. Now, it's going to take a long time till we get over there, so I bring it in tonight just to prove this point, that to read the book of Revelation fills us with hope because the Lord is in control. Now, it is speaking here, this is Revelation 13. That's the chapter of Antichrist. That's the chapter of the beast, the devil at work. And we're told here in verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Do you see that it was permitted him? The devil can do nothing that is not granted to him. We know that from the story of Job. Verse 7 again, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, I know that brings in a whole ethical question of how can a good God permit the devil to do damage and to make war with the saints? But that's the world we live in. We live in a world of spiritual warfare. And the devil would do his worst, but the Lord reigns him in. And he is kept from the very worst that he would do. And this is one of the most reassuring things in this book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus is in control. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, verse 5, you will see this laid out for you. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead. First thing you'll learn here is that Jesus is alive. He's living. He is with us. And the prince of the kings of the earth. He's above them all. There's no one higher than the Lord Jesus. And then unto him that loved us. Now, that's a very interesting statement because it has within it the continuous tense, unto him that just keeps on loving us, just keeps on and on loving us. Oh, we could stop there tonight and say that fills me with hope. Because in the reverses and the trials of this life here on earth, we need that reassurance that the Lord has not stopped loving us. So he's alive. He is the Lord on the throne. He is loving his people. And of course, he has washed us from our sins by his own blood. What a redeeming work it is. And then in verse 7, he lifts us up, makes us kings and priests unto God, And then in verse 7, he's coming again. He's coming again. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And all of this adds up to the hope of the Christian. Even though you may be struggling in this old world, things in heaven are all well. It is well in heaven. When it is murky and troublesome, and we have all the straggly threads that make no sense in this world, remember this, it is well in heaven. The Lord is in control. Down here, life is a puzzle. We don't have all the answers. But up there, there is perfect harmony between the goodness of God and the glory of his name. What a wonder to join that throng in heaven. The best thing that we can achieve down here on earth is the ideal of godliness. But we know that it will never be perfect until we enter into glory itself. And this hope is the anchor for our souls. Without hope, we wither, but with hope, we blossom. And with this hope, we can shine for the Lord Jesus through all the foggy issues of this world. What oxygen is to the lungs, hope is to the believer's life. Now, I want you to note in verse 7 that the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now, the kindreds of the earth, that is those who just love the world, the worldling, the ungodly, the secular, the atheist, the one who's married to the muck and the mire of this world, they will wail because of him when he returns. But look at the Christian. The end of verse 7 says, even so, amen. That's the testimony of the Christian. No fear, no delay, no procrastination, even so, amen. That is the positive hope that is within the heart of the Christian. So to read this book, there's a blessing because it leads you to the reassurance and the hope that the Lord gives to his people. Secondly, there's the blessing of godly testimony. And this word testimony comes up a number of times. I note it in verse 2 and verse 9. Verse 2 and verse 9. And this is John's faithful life for the Lord. It says in verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. It's a matter of testimony for the Lord. And then in verse 9, you have really a very long personal testimony of John. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here is his godly testimony. John did not die a martyr's death, but he lived a martyr's life. He was cast onto this rocky Isle of Patmos. And if you look at it on the map, if you know where Asia Minor is, and you have Miletus on the extreme west point of Asia Minor, on out into the ocean, number of islands, you come to Patmos. It's about 10 miles by 6. I am told that there are no trees that grow on that island. It is windswept. It is exposed. It is not very desirable place to live. But John was dumped there in exile. And in that difficult place, he maintained his testimony for the Lord Jesus. And during the days of persecution by the Emperor Domitian, when many for Christ's sake were put to death or exiled, here's John. And he's an old man. This is the John that wrote the fourth gospel. This is the John that has lived for Christ all these days. And now at the close of life, he's on this island for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was committed to the Word of God. If you notice in verse 2, really it says he gave his testimony who bear record of the Word of God. And I notice those terms in John's Gospel, chapter 1 as well. John wrote this testimony, and now he's living it out, and he's suffering for the cause of Christ, that he might be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus. Now, when we read this, surely it strikes us, what about my testimony? What am I enduring to bear testimony for the Lord Jesus? We ought to count it a privilege to suffer for Christ. Now, I want to take you back to verse 1, where the word servant comes up. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Now, that word servant is the Greek word douloi, which means bond slave. Slaves that are treated as worthless, they have no rights, they have no appeal, they are just bond slaves. And here is the term given to us tonight, a bond slave. We're not here to gripe and complain, but we are to praise God that we may earn a testimony for Christ. Now, it's not salvation. If this was a gospel meeting where there were a lot of unconverted people, I would switch this around and say, this is not you, because you're not serving Christ. You're serving sin. You're serving the world. But this Revelation 1:1 is referring to those who are faithful servants of the Lord Jesus, and they are called to suffer. Now, this was written and happened in the first century, but it has happened each century down through the history of the Lord's church. There have been martyrs, Christians persecuted, men and women who have had to leave home and country, refugees. Think of the days of John Calvin when Geneva became a hub for refugees. People who were fleeing for their lives from persecution. Europe was a mass of turmoil because of persecution. When you read of the 30 years war between European countries, all over different battles, of course, but it left refugees in their thousands. Today, we have refugees fleeing home and country, and some of them for Christ. And the Lord is raising up a testimony through those who are willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus. You see, the attitude of the true Christian is not how much ease will I gain, but rather, how can I have a testimony to stand and honor the Lord Jesus. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, and this is Pastor Ian Gallagher. So, why read the book of Revelation? Can you answer that question now? I hope that it is clear to you that while it is perhaps the most obscure in some areas, yet it is the most valid and vital to our solid faith in the Lord. And sooner or later, every Christian wants to comprehend and understand the book of Revelation. Now, why do we care? Because we're all in on this. It's going to affect every one of us. And whether these events happen in our lifetime or the generations to come, if we are in this world as a Christian, we care, because the future of the world is in the Lord's hands. Now, that brings us confidence, and that brings us surety. But we also need to understand these things for ministry, that we might have the grace of God. The other thing I'm asking here is, why obey? Well, obedience is the better part of valor as we prepare for that great day when this world shall be judged. Accountability is very much in place here, because as we think of God's blessing upon the righteous, we also see the wrath of God upon the wicked. When we get to chapter 15, 16, then we will see how those who take the mark of the beast, the wrath of God will descend upon them. And so this is a matter of ministry. How can we preach the gospel in all its fullness if we don't grapple with the great issues that are in this book of Revelation? And then also there is our own final destiny. We need to care about these things because, well, even though we do not see Christ come or the world judged instantly, as those alive on that day shall, if we are in the grave, well, we're going to be raised up and we're going to be participating in the resurrection day. Every Christian will. We shall stand before Christ. We shall give account. And for those who are faithful, they will hear the well done, good and faithful servant. But for those who are out of Christ, who are disobedient to the gospel, it will be a day of separation, a day of judgment, and we need to be prepared. And I trust that you today will flee to the cross to be saved, to be washed in the blood of Jesus, and to be sure of eternal life. Now, if I can be of personal help, feel free to give me a call. We have the necessary announcements coming up now. Take down the details and give me a call. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.